This is the Cube Show on Demand. Listen live weekdays 6 to 10. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God wants us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I.
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
The Ump.
Don't forget about our friends over at Valley Equipment Rental, valleyequipmentrents.com. Check out that website today, completely redone, easy for you to navigate, and go find any heavy equipment machinery that you might need for your projects this week or this weekend. Tillers, cultivating, front time, mid time, pressure washers, stump grinders, etc. Ross and Tanner and the guys are going to get you in the piece of equipment that you need at the best price for you and your job. ValleyEquipmentRents.com, 256-964-6081, located right there on South Memorial Parkway near Airport Road, 256-964-6081, Valley Equipment Rental.
Boom. Get you some.
SB Nation has an idea for Tim Tebow.
I have one for him as well. Quit.
According to Mark Normandin, this outfielder thing isn't working for him. There's only one path that he needs to take besides retirement.
Oh, there's one besides retirement?
He's 29. The average player is 7.5 years younger than him. He's batting .226 with an on-base percentage of .324. He's slugging .349.
Mm-hmm. I figured his on-base percentage would be higher because if I was a pitcher, I'd just bean him every time.
The league average on-base percentage is .318, so .324 is actually not bad. Strikes out. At a level where opposing pitchers are spending more time trying to work on individual pitches than they are just getting him out.
Yeah. That's
so,
my guy.
If we've given up on him getting any better and being an outfielder, what evidence is there that Tebow could stay in minor league baseball? According to Mark, Tim Tebow needs to become a knuckleballer.
What?
The most unpredictable pitch there is. What evidence is there, says Mark, that Tebow can throw a knuckleball? Have you seen him throw a football?
Oh, I like this Mark guy.
He says Tebow threw a football very weird by American standards.
What a very weird adjective to use.
Steven Wright, a Red Sox knuckleballer, was a regular old pitcher in the Indians organization when he switched to being a knuckleballer in his mid-20s after tinkering with it a few years. Some advice from Tim Wakefield. Now he's in the majors.
I see what he can do. I see this.
Is this the path for Tim Tebow?
The path for Tim Tebow is obviously through Jesus Christ. That is obviously the path for Tim Tebow. But for baseball, the path for Tebow was never going to be anything but try to do this as earnestly as possible. But he's never going to be good enough at this to be worth a flip. So I don't know why, if you're Tim Tebow, you would consider doing this. Tim Tebow wouldn't change positions in the NFL where they were offering millions of dollars possibly to do it. They wouldn't even try changing positions. So why would Tim Tebow now change positions and then try to learn something brand new from scratch, a knuckleball, and then give probably a one good full year of trying it before he finally flails out with that too. This is garbage. This is garbage. Mainly because Tebow's garbage a lot of the time.
You think it's a bad idea?
I just think anything trying to get him to continue to do this baseball thing is just worth a shot weird. Whatever.
You think he needs a pep talk to get back into broadcasting full-time?
He's 29 playing low-A ball. I mean, he's an old dude.
What if it's fun? He's having fun.
Have all the fun you want, brother. You suck at it. It's okay. It's okay to be bad at it. It's also okay to just say, you know what? You know who's going to pay me a lot more money? The SEC Network. Any church in America that wants me to come talk to them. Any company in America that wants me to come talk to them. Any teenage girl that wants me to take a selfie with them. Everything is better.
I don't think they're going to pay him for that, by the way. I think they just expect to get that.
You can start charging like Johnny Manziel did.
Didn't work for him.
Well, listen, Johnny Manziel, that's what he does. Tim Tebow can start charging for everything. Tim Tebow's charging for autographed baseball bats.
Yeah, people want those, right?
It should be the one he's ever got a hit
demand.
On. Demand. Demand, okay. Listen.
You think Tim Tebow needs a pep talk? Does he need a leader to come down and tell him what to do?
Yes. And I do mean literally come down.
Because I have an intriguing story about a pep talk that was given to Ricky Fowler late last year. The golfer who was in contention for the U.S. Open, but again, in contention at a major and couldn't get it done.
Sure, that guy.
Basically, before last year, the Chicago Cubs of the PGA Tour.
Sure.
The
sure,
lovable
sure.
loser.
That guy.
Now, he does have 6 top 10s in majors, 3 Ryder Cup appearances, won the Players' Championship, 3 other wins on tour,
sure.
4 wins on tour.
That's 4.
He's 28 years old. Do you know who his swing coach is?
If you say Tim Tebow, I'm going to...
I wish it was. Butch Harmon, you probably heard of that
guy.
Yeah. Butch, of course, coached Tiger Woods, Greg Norman. He did an interview on Sky Sports and said, we had a big conversation at the end of last year. He didn't like it. I said, you got to decide. Are you going to be a Kardashian or are you going to be a golf pro?
Mm.
You're the king of social media. You're all over these Snapchats and all these things. How much do you like Butch Harmon telling Ricky Fowler he needs to decide if he wants to be a Kardashian or a pro golfer?
Butch Harmon is 73 years old. I don't like Butch Harmon saying this at all.
What? I thought you would love this.
Butch Harmon's 73 years old. Does he even know what Snapchat is? He doesn't know what all of these things are. People are telling him this. And he's saying, you taking a picture of yourself is taking away from you playing golf. Do you know how long it takes to take a picture of yourself? Not that much time. Less than 20 minutes, I'll probably bet. And what's wrong with being a Kardashian? They're rich.
Fair.
They got super rich and super famous because one of the sisters happened to... release a movie. Not theatrically, but we all found it. You know, it was worldwide.
It was.
They got famous and rich for almost nothing. Why wouldn't you want to be famous and rich, even if it is for nothing? And Ricky Fowler's at least got some clout to it. That's where you connect with people, man. Social media. Come on, Butch, you're old. Stop this.
So you're just mad that he even knows what Snapchat and the Kardashians are.
Listen, I have Snapchat now, and I'm barely on it. Like, I get on it every now and then, be like, I post something different, I guess. But I don't check it daily like I do Twitter and Facebook and even Instagram to a degree. And I'm one of these guys that say, look, social media is all right. It's not crazy cool. I don't need to spend all my time on it. But I'm not 73 just saying there's no value to social media when you're wanting to get rich.
What if he thinks that Ricky Fowler, if he wants to actually win more tournaments, needs to focus more on golf instead of these things?
So would you like Ricky Fowler then?
I mean, part of the reason that Ricky Fowler's flying to these events in private planes is because he's very likable by the fans. He can sell gear.
Would we like Ricky Fowler to do what Rocky did and go up into the mountains in the snow and just start punching next to the fireplace.
Let me ask you this:
through the snow
from a golf perspective, right now, answer this honestly: what's more important, winning or admiration of fans?
Admiration of fans.
Okay. I mean, if that's what gets you endorsement deals, and that's what ultimately pays your bills,
and he's barely won.
All these guys make more money than they do on tour. All the guys that you've heard of are making a lot more in endorsements than they are as far as tour winnings, because half of them don't even play enough events to even equate to what they're making in endorsements.
And oh, by the way, if the fans go away, so do your paychecks.
So you say,
you know why the paychecks are so good
you
now?
Think Ricky Fowler
Tiger
should
Woods
spend,
brought in a ton of fans.
You think Ricky Fowler should spend more time on social media?
I think it's adequate what he's doing now.
He should be snapping during his rounds, is what you're saying.
If they'll allow it. Like, this is my approach shot on 16.
We could hand it to Allison Stoke, his girlfriend, while she's following him, and she could snap him, and he'd be like, hey, guys, that was a bad shot.
Used to those, aren't we?
Fescue. Man, way, that feels like a good idea.
That was crazy.
Like, you give your own play-by-play of your round while someone's Snapchatting it?
There's got to be regulations against
Hooked it. Hooked
it! There's got to be regulations. That's the reason we've never seen it.
I don't know.
But there's got
to
be.
I think some of these guys still try to placate to the get-off-my-yard golf guy.
Listen, there was a survey that came out, I think, last week.
Hell, some of these courses you can't even take your phone in.
There was a survey that came out last week. Do you want to know what? They had the average age of all the sports of people who are watching. Do you know what the oldest audience watching it is? You know, which sport has the oldest audience?
Bowling.
It's golf. Bowling's not a sport, right, Cole?
No, it's not.
It's a Saturday activity that you do to keep your mind off of your terrible wife. It is not what you actually call a sport. Golf, by far the oldest sport.
Okay.
By far, baseball second. Golf is the oldest. Why don't you think, what's wrong with a Ricky Fowler, who is young, and a Rory McIlroy, and a Jordan Spieth, these young guys, what's wrong with them trying to get young people watching them do things? Because your average age is like 60-plus years old.
They get plenty of guys watching them do things, just not many of them watching them play golf. They like to watch them run around shirtless playing golf on spring break.
Here's the thing. That equates to viewers, not necessarily on the TV side, but maybe on the streaming side. Because I'll tell you what I found out over the weekend, that now my Sling TV that I told you so many times about, that's accounted for in Nielsen now.
Okay.
So they're starting to figure out ways to count these. That will just be the evolution of all of this. We're going to evolve to where everything gets figured out. Just some things that are ahead of the others.
I still don't see
these Instagram watchers, these Snapchat watchers.
Yeah, I don't see the 16-year-old girls that follow Ricky Fowler on Snapchat because they think he's cute tuning into the U.S. Open or the Bank of America FedEx Championship in Dubai or wherever the hell he's playing.
But if he tells them to,
no,
they may.
No, because they're going to get a lot of other guys in between the 10 seconds of Ricky Fowler that they get, and they don't care about Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama.
But we're going to get to a day where that's going to happen.
No, we're not.
And we're going to get to a day where you're going to be able to say, hey,
we're not
going
to get to
Ricky
a day
Fowler.
Where teenagers think Ricky Fowler's cute, so they're going to start watching PGA-sanctioned events. That's not real.
Ricky Fowler is going to say on his Twitter or his Snapchat or his Instagram, he's going to say, hey, guess who's one stroke back and about to win the U.S. Open? He'll say that on Snapchat. And then he'll say, you have to go watch it on Fox right now. And it doesn't mean you'll get hundreds of thousands to millions of fans, because I think that day's over. You're not getting millions of people to go watch any one guy. There's no player like that out there. But a little bit of a trickle effect, if that's somebody buying more PGA Tour gear, like I have PGA Tour golf shorts. I have like 3 pairs of PGA Tour golf shorts I got for Christmas. You know why I bought that?
Because Ricky Fowler Snapchatted them.
Ricky Fowler Snapchatted golf shorts.
Yeah. And you wanted them. Let's get to 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweet!
Speaking of golf,
if they can get me, they can get a 16-year-old girl. They'll buy anything.
At AJGA Golf tweets, like father, like son, John Daly II earns his first ever ace at the hashtag Stacey Lewis Invitational.
Yeah, I don't know who Stacey Lewis is. But Did you see the picture of him?
I'm looking at one right now.
Yeah.
Looks like he's got a Nike sponsorship.
If he is a, I'm about to say, if he's 12 years old and has a Nike sponsorship, I feel like I'm wasting my entire life sitting here yelling about Tim Tebow and Ricky Fowler's
really,
Snapchat.
I don't know how this works, but if this is John Daly's kid. Wouldn't he be John Daly Jr.?
You don't have to name him Jr.
You can name him John Daly the second?
You could, yeah.
It feels very
uppity.
Royalish.
Yeah. Well, John Daly is part of the royal family.
Of golf.
Yes.
Five iron, 190 yards on number seven, hole in one.
Yeah, well, you know. I'll take that. Do you think you'll ever...
He's got more hole in ones than I do in my golf career.
Do you think by the time you keel over and die, and hopefully that's at least 6 to 8 months from now, do you think you'll have had a hole in one?
I don't. Mm-mm.
Have you gotten close?
The trajectory on my low irons, I don't think is ever going to allow it. I'm going to have to... It's going to have to be like nothing but net type shot for me.
Okay, first of all, if that happens, that's the day you should keel over and die. That's the perfect shot.
Thank you.
Have you ever gotten close?
Yeah, I've been within a couple feet. I mean, I haven't been within like 2 inches, I don't think. But my when I hit a sand wedge or a pitching wedge or 9 iron, I don't have... And listen, once we get over anything more than that, the accuracy is probably not going to be there for me to even pretend to get it close enough for like a 7 or a 6 or a longer par 3.
Mm-hmm.
But for the ones who I feel like I could sort of attack the pins, which for me to even say that's hilarious, my ball usually doesn't move when it hits the green. I mean, it just kind of like, bop, maybe one hop and it's done. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of backspin.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of roll. It's just kind of, and it sticks because I hit it like straight up in the air.
This may not surprise you, but I've never been close to hole-in-one. I know right now, I'm glad you're sitting for that news, but I've never been close.
I don't believe you.
I got lots of videos.
Bueller tweets in, anytime Tebow's name comes up on this show, it turns into a segment. And on Fowler, I'm sure his sponsors endorse his social media. Probably.
I don't know about turning into a segment. You just throw it out there and I want to yell.
Chris Crow tweets, the desperation of the Ole Miss football program has become very sad. Hashtag Biebergate.
This chunk comes from Awful Announcing. Apparently this ACC network that they're trying to get up,
yeah,
not cheap. According to the Virginia president, it's going to cost each one of these ACC schools between $5 and $7 million for the infrastructure for it. Now, part of it's because you're trying to build things on campus as well. You like the SEC network, you may watch and see like coaches doing interviews, but that's because they're in like a media room that the SEC network has helped to build and design on campus. So, let me ask you this. With that costing $5 to $7 million per school, is there really any way the ACC network can be seen as a huge success?
Huge right off the bat? No, it depends on what happens. I mean,
the ACC network's at 90 million homes,
right? What's the demand going to be? That will ultimately be the difference. Now, what we're going to see is a very different demand. Because I believe a lot of ACC fans are going to demand this for basketball content, are going to demand this for, I mean, you've got some up-and-coming football programs. You know, Clemson fans, Florida State fans are going to see more programming around their football teams and about their football teams. I think NC State's a team that's sort of on the rise. Now, where does Notre Dame play into all this? That's sort of a weird... Are they going to talk about Notre Dame a lot? Are they ever going to get Notre Dame? Probably not.
Yes, especially since NBC has so much.
Well, NBC's getting all their home games, but they're not going to get their road games, which there will be a few of those every year. So, you know, I look, ACC has really strong baseball fans, and this is going to be nutty. I know I'm going to say it, though. Lacrosse, soccer, women's soccer, there may be a bigger market for some of those sports than we realize because we're not Atlantic Coast Conference guys, really. Now, I say that about the basketball, but are we having trouble getting ACC basketball right now? Are we having trouble seeing Duke and North Carolina play?
I can't find it anywhere.
I think you're going to be okay if you want to see those games.
But I think that's what people said at first when like, having trouble finding Alabama, Auburn, or Tennessee, Florida. Are you having it's these games like, you know, Alabama, Vanderbilt. You know, where will that be? In Alabama, Western Carolina.
Yeah.
Where will that be? In Auburn, Idaho.
But the reality is, when you look at Wake Forest, when you look at Duke, at North Carolina, they don't have to be playing each other, but those teams playing someone are going to be on that network, and people are going to go there.
I think there are just so many fewer teams in the ACC, aside from basketball, that are that hardcore wanting to watch every single thing of somebody else and just wanting it. So many fewer teams that care than like the SEC. I think the SEC, all 14 teams are kind of hardcore for it. Maybe Vanderbilt can be a little lukewarm at times.
I would say Missouri probably not as hardcore also.
Okay, so get 12 of the 14. How many of the ACC schools really are hardcore for especially
football or just for something, one of their sports?
I'll tell you, something because they're, you know, Boston College doesn't care about basketball or football. I mean,
I think they care about football. Not
enough. I mean, no one shows up to the games.
They'd be bottom end of the SEC. Florida State, Clemson football. I think NC State football. I'm speaking football right now.
Okay.
NC State football is going to be there.
It's far fewer.
No, it's definitely fewer. But I still think you're going to have Virginia Tech fans are going to be in.
Yeah, I mean, there's 5, 6, maybe 7 teams that
Pitt fans are going to be in, Miami fans in.
I think you may be able to get to 10. With basketball, maybe get to 10.
I think with basketball, you got to find, and this is one thing that's what sort of hurts the SEC network, just in my opinion. ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU are always going to want Bama on there because they're going to rate. So viewers don't have to go to the SEC network very often to get Bama. I mean, how many times was Bama on the SEC network? Maybe twice. I mean, I had the Kent State game. I was on that one. I don't know where that second-to-last game was, whoever that was against, Charleston Southern.
Yeah, it had to be. Had to be.
It didn't have to be. Some of those games have been. I mean, that Western Kentucky game was on ESPN2. Western Kentucky. Because that game's going to rate. It's going to rate. So ESPN wants them. So how many Duke and Carolina basketball games can ESPN or ESPN2 afford to allow the ACC network to have? Because they got to have them if they're going to rate over any other piece of inventory that they have. So if Duke is playing in the Maui Invitational against A&1, superstars, shoot 'em up, all-star team, whatever, and they think that game's going to rate, it's not going to the ACC network. It's just not. They have to put that game on because it's going to rate, and they need to be able to show that. So we'll visit with Abby Kowal next, talk some College World Series of TexAgs.com. Again, Cube Show Sports Radio, 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Abby Kowal of Tex Ags Radio joining us now. You can follow her on Twitter at Abby Kowal, K-O-W-A-L. Good morning, Abby. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm assuming this is your first trip to Omaha. How has it been?
It is. I've covered this team for almost 4 years now, and I've been dying to come here since I was a child, so it's been, I mean, the atmosphere here has been absolutely incredible. And like the first time I walked out on the concourse, I got chills. It's amazing. I never got to experience Rosenblatt, but this is pretty awesome.
So you are there covering Texas A&M. They're eliminated last night by TCU. What were the expectations of this team early in the season, beginning of the season? Did most A&M fans expect the Aggies to make a College World Series run?
Absolutely not. I mean, we started the season 0-5. I don't even think it was a thought in anyone's head. It was a rebuilding year for us. I mean, the team lost 13 guys last year to the draft or seniors, and basically six starters in our lineup. So this was definitely a rebuilding year for this team. And no one really expected it. And also, we were one of the last four teams to make it into the regional. So the beginning of the season, it wasn't looking good. And then when this team didn't even think they were going to make it to a regional, I mean, let alone make it to Omaha, it's been a crazy ride, that's for sure.
Abby Kowal joining us of TexAgs.com. Can follow her on Twitter. Ran into Brian Howard last night. They call him Big Game Howie. 6'9", 7 innings, 12 strikeouts, gave up one earned run, and just 5 hits. So tough for A&M to get the bats going when you've got that kind of dominance on the mound against you.
Yeah, I mean, I think he threw 91 pitches and 70 were for strikes. His stuff was unreal. I think his 12 strikeouts was a record, a tied record for the most in the College World Series since it's moved to the TD Ameritrade. And, I mean, no one could touch him. And the difference between our first game where we faced McKay, who's the fourth overall pick in the draft, to facing Howard is we were behind in every count. So these guys go up to the plate and they're 0-2 or 1-2, and that's what hurt him in the end. And, I mean, his stuff was unreal. And like everyone here has been saying, last night was a Brian Howard show. And he's beat the Aggies 3 years in a row now. So it was tough. It was tough to watch, but, I mean, you can't take anything away from him.
For listeners here in Alabama, is there any kind of similar hatred for TCU as there is Texas for A&M fans?
You know, it's hard to compare the two because really it's just with baseball. I think TCU in general, how they've knocked A&M out of the tournament 3 years in a row has been tough, especially the past 2 years in extra innings in the Super Regional. I personally don't think I can compare it to the rivalry we have with Texas or anything like that, but definitely in the baseball world, TCU is one of the enemies.
We're visiting with Abby Kowal, TexAgs Radio, TexAgs.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Abby Kowal, K-O-W-A-L. When you look at this team, you mentioned that early on the expectations for the Aggies were not really to make a College World Series run, got off to a slow start. How does this roster look like? And I know with baseball, things can change and be very different from one year to the next. How do you believe this roster will stack up next year? And what are you expecting from the Aggies in this next season coming up?
I think overall, this team, next year's team, is going to be better than this year's team. Like I said, we lost so many guys last year, and this year, you know, rebuilding year, a lot of young players, especially having this trip to Omaha, I think has given them a lot of experience. And we have, this team has a lot of transfers coming in and really good recruits. And I think next year our lineup is going to be stacked. And I think, like I said, this experience at Omaha is only going to help them, and I would not be surprised if they made it back here in the next 2 years, if it's not next year.
Now, I noticed following you on Twitter at Abby Kowal, K-O-W-A-L, and obviously I got to be friends with some of your TexAgs cohorts when I came over to cover the spring game. And yeah. A few of those guys, Gabe Bach and Olin Buchanan, were guys that sat in studio. We got to chat and hang out a little bit. You tweeted in the middle of this College World Series run for A&M, downloaded Tinder and Bumble last night to teach at Gabe Bach and at Olin Buchanan and at Tex Aggie Baseball how it works, been more exhausting than actual work. How did this even come about? Why was this an experiment that you were willing to go forward with?
So I've never been a Tinder Bumble kind of person, but I think I overheard a conversation on the concourse about like someone going, or maybe I was out on Saturday night, people, you know, going to a new town and getting on it to just see who's around. And so I mentioned Tinder and Bumble to Gabe and Olin, and they're like, what's that? So I decided to download it. I made a profile, and this whole week I've been swiping left and right on people and, you know, messaging pickup lines to just show them like what it's all about. But let me tell you, they ask so many questions. And that's why I said this is more exhausting than actual work here, just trying to explain to them what this dating app is. It's been hilarious. And I'm sure on our 14-hour ride home where we'll be Tindering and Bumble.
So more exhausting explaining to those two guys what it is or dealing with the amount of people that are trying to contact you via either of these two apps?
Oh, no, no, no. More exhausting trying to explain them how it works. They just, you know, they don't understand it. So the majority of the time they're asking, well, why'd you swipe left on him? Or, you know, what does that mean? Did he message you? Or how do you message each other? How long do you have to message? And, you know, that's what I was referring to, them just not understanding how the app works. So I've spent a lot of time trying to explain that to them, but it's been really funny to listen to them.
Will you keep those two apps on your phone once you get back home and get back to College Station, or are you going to delete these and be done with them?
You know, I think I'm going to delete them. I'm not too into the app. You know, I had a lot of people respond to me on Twitter and say, hey, that's how I met my wife. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, which, hey, good for you. I support that, but I don't think I'm going to be swiping left and right every day when I get back home.
Are you Abby Cole is joining us of TexAgs.com. Are you game to go with maybe answer a couple of A&M football questions coming out of spring practice?
Sorry?
Are you game to answer a couple football questions, A&M football questions coming out of spring ball?
Sure.
What is your expectation at the quarterback situation for 2017?
Oh, gosh, the question of the year.
Yep.
I mean, like everyone, I'm really not sure what to expect. I think Hubnik obviously has the experience. And so right now, if I were to say, who's going to start, I'm going to go with him. But like I said, that's the question of the year. No one really knows what to expect, and I'm really interested to see how it plays out because we have some good guys set up for that.
Based on what the athletic director said at the spring meetings, do A&M fans believe that Kevin Sumlin needs to get to a certain number of wins this year to secure his job? Does he need to get to 8, 9, 10, whatever that number might be? Or do you think it's bigger picture than that?
From fans, all we hear on radio and social media is that the expectation for them is to get 9 or 10 wins. Now, if I think that's going to happen, I really don't know with this team. I have more confidence in them than last year. But, yeah, everyone is holding someone to a very high expectation this year and, you know, calling for his job, which a lot of fans do with any coach, but definitely holding him to a high number of wins this year.
Well, Abby, we appreciate your first visit here on the show. Wish you the best, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Abby Kowal of TexAgs.com. Follow her on Twitter at Abby Kowal, K-O-W-A-L. Good stuff there. You're not on Tinder or Bumble, right?
When she said Bumble, I didn't know what that was. I've heard of Tinder, and we've talked about it briefly on the show, I guess throughout the history of the show. With various stories to come. I don't know what Bumble is.
Did you not look it up?
No. Because I'm afraid I'll get something dirty on my phone. I'm not really wanting to play that game today where I have to go to the phone store to replace a phone for Bumble. Is it? I don't know if you know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
I know there are a couple of like messaging apps that are just like messages. But they're supposed to be messages that like delete quickly. So you're not really texting or messaging someone with your phone number or really like a username or anything. It's sort of a another free messaging app, which is, I guess some people don't have texts or cell phone plans. I don't know. It's all very confusing to me. But that's the thing. I know I'm going to have to worry about that eventually, and you will too. Because a lot of this stuff is what the kids are doing, and you got kids that'll be coming up in the next 9, 10, 11 years that'll start to be, and it probably won't be Bumble by then, but these kind of apps that you got to stay on the forefront of. So I don't know what Bumble was. I'd heard what Tinder was. I know what Grindr is.
Stop.
Just think of partners is all you got to do.
All right, Bumble app via Twitter. Meet, date, network better.
Okay, so it's just another dating app.
Or network. It can be for networking.
Yeah, network for sex. That's what that is.
Stop.
That's what that means.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Network. I'm getting my next job off of Bumble. That's what I'm going to do.
All right, we'll get to the TV listings in another one next.
to win some Nate Bargatze tickets. That's right. You can text in right now to win Nate Bargatze tickets to see Nate Bargatze this weekend at Stand Up Live, one of the top, easily the top three comedians touring today. He is coming to Stand Up Live. He'll be in studio tomorrow with us. But he's coming to Stand Up Live this weekend, Thursday through Saturday. You can win tickets to see him Friday night by texting in the phrase Nate, 910-663-5663. That's the phrase that pays. Nate to 910-663-5663.
Exciting times. All right, every morning we give you our television listings to try to give you an idea of what's going to be on tonight. Let's do it, Arky.
What it is. I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no
proxy. Oh, I always feel like watched some American Ninja Warrior the last two nights.
I was just asking if people are still watching it, but you're still in. You're still in for a few minutes.
Listen, I'm not saying that I'm dialed in, start to finish every episode, recording it, so on and so forth, but it's one of those things, like I told you yesterday, if it's on, I'll check it out and see what's going on.
But that's if you happen to be passing by it or something, or see it.
Yeah.
It's not that you remember that it's on a Tuesday night.
No, it's not like that.
Your relationship with American Ninja Warrior is not that secure.
It's not that serious, no. NBC tonight, 7 p.m., Little Big Shots, Forever Young.
Mm.
I don't know what that is.
If Little Big Shots is anything like Little Pit Boss or Little Women L.A. or Little Women Dallas or Little Women Atlanta.
An 80-year-old tap dancer and an opera-singing plumber are featured in the series premiere of this variety show spinoff from Little Big Shots, in which elderly folks perform.
Oh, sure, sure.
Appearing Betty White and gospel singer Shirley Caesar. Steve Harvey hosts.
Can I ask this question?
So I'm automatically out.
Am I the only one that think that this...
Steve Harvey's being used for too many things?
No. That's true. That is very true. But am I the only one that thinks that like this love for the last 4 years or so, maybe three, this giant love affair we've just all of a sudden had with Betty White has kind of gone off the rails? Oh, that's your mic. Oh, that would be good news for us. Oh, I like this. Now keep talking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait. Oh, no, it came back. I don't like that. Keep going. Try it again.
Esquire TV has Best Bars in America tonight, 7 and 8 p.m. For you, Arky Shea, Freeform tonight, 7:20, The Devil Wears Prada.
Huh.
And FX has Transformers Age of Extinction. I don't even know which one this is because there's been so many, and apparently there's a new one coming out.
That's the seventh one.
FYI tonight, 7, 8, and 8:30 has, well, Tiny House Nation followed by Tiny House Hunting. Have you seen any of these? These tiny homes that people are moving into?
I have seen a tiny home or two before.
They're like 300 square feet. I don't know how you do it. They're like, oh, it's only $32,000. Awesome. You still got to live in it.
That's the size of my toilet. I don't know what we're... How do you live in that?
Go to srvwholesale.com. You can get a better deal there.
Oh, yeah. Easy. You can actually move around. Literally. Both ways, what I mean.
No, these things are basically like half of a shipping container big.
And you're supposed to live in it?
Yep. They make them up, put you a kitchen and bunk beds.
This isn't just like camping. This is like your life?
TLC has this a lot, and it'll come on when the wife's watching it.
Oh,
and I don't know how these people do it.
That
IFC has The Town tonight at 7 p.m. Great film. And MOMAX, 5:20 p.m., The Revenant. Good film there as well, if you want to watch that. MTV has Fear Factor 7 and 8 p.m. tonight. I thought Fear Factor was coming back. I'm in on that if they do, by the way.
Did you like Fear Factor?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I was into it, man. I'm not saying it's great
really?
TV. Yeah. Let's get to our game of the night.
Really?
That bothers you that I was into Fear Factor?
Cube Show Game of the Night.
I just didn't think there was much to it. I mean, no one was going to die. It's just weird stuff. Like, what I hated about Fear Factor is that one of the things was always going to be eat something gross.
Yeah, that's the reason I don't think I could ever go on it. Because I'm not eating, like, pig rectum.
You're the only one.
NBC Sports Network tonight.
Yes.
You thought it was going to be a boring night.
I did. I was like, Wednesday, mm-hmm. before the NBA draft, there's not a lot on.
Mm-hmm. You were wrong. 7 p.m. tonight, live.
Oh.
So anything could happen. NHL Awards.
Oh, yes.
Tell me you're not in, because I won't believe you when you do.
I'm totally in. I'm totally in. Did you see who the presenter is for this year for the NHL Awards? Not a presenter, but the actual host.
No and no.
You will love this name. Now, here's the thing you need to know about the NHL Awards. They don't get very good hosts, and they don't get very good presenters, so this will just make you laugh. The host is Joe Manganiello. Joe Manganiello?
Huge.
What you need to know about Joe...
This is like the Ricky Fowler effect of him bringing people into golf. Joe's going to definitely bring some people into hockey.
Well, here's the thing. Joe Manganiello? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's best known as being like a Magic Mike. He's like dude number four. But...
I see where you're
heading. He's like the fourth or fifth most famous person out of that movie.
You got it. Okay.
His wife is the most famous person about them. Who do you think he's married to? Just take a while. I know you're not going to know.
Olivia Munn.
Didn't she just break up with
Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, that's a bad guess. I actually know this because I've heard them on Howard Stern. Who is it?
I'll give you a hint. It's a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's in. I know the name
now, but
Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, that's right. He's been on Stern a few times.
That's the most. That's their host.
But wait, tonight
Drake is hosting the NBA Awards. By the way,
Hart Trophy for the league MVP. Also, the Vezina Trophy for goaltenders. The Norris Trophy for defensemen. And we learn the final initial roster results for the Vegas Golden Knights.
That's right. They're making their choices tonight.
Oh, man.
Who off the Predators is going to the Knights?
I don't know.
You'll find out tonight.
It's so intriguing that I'm not going to watch any of it. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10.